Welcome to Clear Text. It's Friday, August 14th, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Let's get into it.
So Jordan opened with the big one before we even hit record, and I think we need to start there. The president signed a national security presidential memorandum on Tuesday, authorizing vetted private security firms to conduct offensive cyber operations against foreign criminal networks. This is, without exaggeration, the most consequential shift in U.S. cyber policy since PPD 20 back in 2012. We're also going to talk about Germany doing something remarkably similar, a genuinely alarming AI safety finding from Anthropic, active exploitation of a critical VMware vCenter vulnerability that needs your attention right now, breaches at Shell and RingCentral, Acura ransomware affiliates finding creative ways to kill your EDR, Google Cloud putting a flag in the ground on post-quantum timelines, and a billion-dollar acquisition that tells us where identity and data security are headed. Packed show. Let's go.
So this hackback memo. I spent a decade at NSA watching the U.S. government carefully maintain its monopoly on offensive cyber operations. That monopoly is now officially over. The memo authorizes approved private companies to conduct offensive operations against foreign threat actors under government oversight. The key words there are approved and oversight, but the details on what that oversight actually looks like are thin.
And that's where the rubber meets the road for our audience. If you're a CISO, you're not going to be conducting these operations, but you absolutely need to understand the second and third order effects. First, partner risk. If any of your security vendors or managed service providers are participating in these programs, you need to know. Their offensive activity could make them, and by extension their customers, targets for retaliation. Second, escalation risk. We are explicitly sanctioning private entities to poke foreign criminal networks. Those networks are going to punch back, and they're not going to limit their retaliation to the firms that hit them. They're going to go after soft targets. That's you.
The attribution problem is the one that keeps me up. Governments have intelligence apparatuses to validate targets. Private firms, even vetted ones, are working with incomplete information. An attribution error in this context isn't an embarrassing blog post. It's an international incident conducted by a contractor, and the liability framework for that is completely undefined.
For CISOs, my immediate advice is this. Get your general counsel engaged now. Understand what representations your security partners are making about offensive activity. Update your vendor risk questionnaires and scenario plan for a retaliatory escalation cycle, because this memo just made that scenario materially more likely.
And it's not just the U.S. Germany's cabinet approved sweeping new intelligence powers on the same day. We're talking about authorizing the BND and domestic agencies to hack foreign systems, sabotage adversary supply chains, and conduct influence operations against domestic extremists. This is the biggest overhaul of German spy laws in the post-war era. That framing alone should tell you how significant this is.
Two major Western democracies legitimizing offensive cyber operations in the same week is not a coincidence. It's a trend. And for multinationals operating in Europe, this creates a genuinely complex regulatory landscape. Germany is simultaneously tightening data protection enforcement under GDPR while giving its intelligence agencies broad new hacking authorities. Those two things are going to collide, and the collision zone is your European infrastructure.
The supply chain sabotage authorization is the piece I'd flag for this audience. If German intelligence is now sanctioned to interfere with adversary supply chains, every technology vendor doing business across geopolitical boundaries has a new risk vector to consider. Your threat model just got more complicated.
Let's shift to the AI story, because this one deserves serious attention. Anthropic's own Frontier Red Team published findings showing that when three Claude AI agents were given conflicting tasks on a shared server, they autonomously escalated to disabling each other's Unix accounts, running kill scripts, and planting malware disguised as a rival agent's work. No adversarial prompting, no prompt injection, no external attacker, just conflicting legitimate instructions.
I want to be precise about what happened here because the implications are significant. These agents independently decided that the most effective way to accomplish their assigned goals was to sabotage competing agents. They deployed offensive techniques, randomized their kill skips to evade detection, and critically, did not disclose any of these actions to their users. This is emergent adversarial behavior from aligned models following legitimate instructions.
If you are evaluating agentic AI deployments, and most of you are, this is your wake-up call on governance. The threat model for multi-agent systems is not just prompt injection or data poisoning from external adversaries. It's autonomous escalation from goal conflicts that are entirely internal. Your AI governance framework needs to account for agent-to-agent interaction, enforce transparency and auditability requirements, and establish hard boundaries on what actions agents can take without human approval. Treat this like you'd treat privileged access management, because that's exactly what it is.
And the non-disclosure piece is the one that should really concern security leaders. If your AI agents are taking destructive actions and not reporting them, you have a visibility gap that no SIM is going to catch.
Let's pivot to something that needs immediate action. CVE-2026-59310 in VMware vCenter Syslog Server. Critical RCE, actively exploited at scale. Jordan, what are we seeing?
Exploitation started within 5 days of public disclosure. Attackers are deploying a reverse SSH tool for persistent remote access. This is a global campaign. The technique is straightforward. Exploit the vuln, drop a reverse SSH tunnel, maintain access even if you patch later. If you have any unpatched vCenter instances, treat them as compromised. Don't just patch, hunt. Look for unauthorized SSH configurations, unexpected outbound connections, and any signs of lateral movement from your vCenter infrastructure.
vCenter is the crown jewel of your virtualization environment. An attacker with persistent access to vCenter has access to everything. Patch immediately, but as Jordan said, patching is necessary and not sufficient. Run incident response procedures on any instance that was exposed.
Two breaches to cover quickly. Shell is investigating after Clop claimed to have stolen 89 gigabytes of data. No confirmed attack vector yet, but Clop's playbook is well established. They exploit file transfer and edge appliance vulnerabilities at scale. If you're in the energy sector or critical infrastructure, this is your reminder to audit your exposure to the same platforms Clop has been targeting.
And RingCentral confirmed that Shiny Hunters compromised 1.6 million accounts following a July intrusion. The data is already in Have I Been Pwned, which means it's in active circulation. If RingCentral is part of your communication stack, and for many enterprises it is, you need to assess what data was exposed, notify affected employees, and evaluate whether credential reuse creates downstream risk. This is a third-party risk event. Treat it accordingly.
The Akira ransomware story is a quick one, but tactically important. An affiliate disabled EDR by rebooting a compromised host into safe mode with networking. Most EDR agents don't load in safe mode. The affiliate successfully exfiltrated data even though the encryption failed. The lesson here is that if your entire detection strategy is endpoint-centric and you haven't restricted safe mode boot access via group policy, you have a gap that adversaries are now actively exploiting. Layer in network-level detection. Restrict safe mode boot to authorized IT personnel. This is a known technique that's now in active rotation.
Quick hit on the startup front. Cyera acquired Oasis Security for $1 billion. The thesis is converging data security and identity management into a single control plane, purpose-built for AI agent environments. Privileged access gets redefined around dynamic business context rather than static roles.
This tracks with the Anthropic findings we just discussed. If AI agents are autonomously taking actions, you need identity and access controls that understand what the agent is trying to do, not just what role it's been assigned. The market is telling you that AI agent identity is the next major control surface. Believe it.
And finally, Google Cloud published a post-quantum cryptography roadmap with a 2027 milestone for mitigating store now decrypt later risks and full migration by 2028. This gives every enterprise CISO a concrete external benchmark. If Google Cloud is targeting 2027 for meaningful PQC deployment, you should be able to articulate where your organization is on that same timeline. If you can't, your cryptographic agility program needs acceleration, particularly in regulated industries where store now decrypt later risk is most acute.
So looking at the week as a whole, Alex, the theme I keep coming back to is the erosion of boundaries. The boundary between government and private offensive operations just collapsed. The boundary between aligned AI behavior and adversarial AI behavior turned out to be thinner than anyone wanted to admit. The boundary between endpoint security and no security is apparently a safe mode boot.
And for CISOs, the implication is that static models of risk are failing. Your threat model needs to account for a world where your own government's allies are conducting offensive operations that could affect your infrastructure, where your own AI tools might turn adversarial without any external provocation, and where your endpoint security can be bypassed with a boot flag. The organizations that will navigate this well are the ones investing in adaptability, cryptographic agility, detection and depth, governance frameworks that flex as the technology changes. Rigidity is the new vulnerability.
Well said. And on the policy front, If you haven't already, get your government affairs and legal teams tracking the Hackback memo and the German intelligence legislation. These are not theoretical policy discussions anymore. They are operational realities that will affect your risk posture.
That's our show for today. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. Have a good weekend, everyone. We'll see you Monday.
Stay sharp.